Mark chapter 10 tonight. Our text this evening will be verse 46 down through verse 52, the end of the chapter. Just a few short verses, but tonight I trust that the Lord would bless in a great way as we look at this text tonight. The title of my message tonight is Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. In all of the Gospels, there are 30 healing miracles. Of those healing miracles, only some of them are named by name the person who was healed. Now in Mark, as we get here to Mark chapter 10, up until this point, all the way from Mark chapter 1 all the way up through, thank you, sir, all the way up through there have been 18 recorded miracles already. Where we're going to look at in our text, this is the last miracle that Mark is going to record for us. It's the last healing miracle that Mark gives us. Now, I said that there were only two people that were by name mentioned of those who were healed. One of them was Lazarus. The other is the man here in our text, Bartimaeus. Certainly, there were others, and we know them kind of by association, but we don't have their exact name. We have here the name of one who was healed. And I trust as we look at blind Bartimaeus this evening, I trust that you'll be able to follow along well. I've given you an outline, so you'll have something to write on and write with. You can take notes or you don't have to take notes. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that we let the Lord speak to us. We're going to read in verse 46, and then I'll pray and continue on with the message. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Let's ask the Lord's blessing in our time here today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here with these, your people. Lord, it's a great privilege and a great honor to open up your word and to be your mouthpiece. Lord, thank you for the message that you have for all of us tonight. Again, Lord, we do pray for our dear pastor that you'll bless him and his family as they're away. Thank you for the work that they've done here, and thank you for the work that you are doing in and through our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our moments here together. May you receive all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho. You remember the story of the Jericho Road? The Jericho Road was a road that went from Jericho all the way down to Jerusalem. It surpassed about 17 miles, and in that 17 miles, it drops in elevation 3,600 feet. It's very winding. It's very descending. It's very steep. It was a place where robberies happened for centuries. Now, beggars would often choose the busiest thoroughfares to be, for they knew that many people would pass that way. The Jews are traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem for the Passover. Multitudes of people are flocking into Jerusalem, and it will become evident why, in a few verses later, why this is happening. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan happened on this road that we find ourselves looking at this evening. Notice, if you will, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Your first blank there, I want you to know that Bartimaeus had a problem. Bartimaeus had a problem. You can see from our text here that he was blind. His ailment, on your blank, is that he was blind. Now, normal eyesight, this is how normal eyesight happens. Light comes into our eyes, and it focuses on the back of our eye in a place called the retina. The retina has a special group of cells. They're called photoreceptors. Those photoreceptors take the light and convert it into electrical signals. Those electrical signals from the retina travel via the optic nerve to our brain, and we recognize the images. We can say, oh, that's a cucumber. Oh, that's a giraffe. Oh, that's the American flag. Oh, that's the ocean. We look at things and we recognize that because of that intricate process. Bartimaeus couldn't do that. From what we can tell from the accounts of all of Scripture, it's very likely he has been blind from birth. Now, we don't know that for sure, but we know he's got a problem. In that day, blindness was a hindrance. He couldn't work. I mean, could he be a carpenter? How could he do that? Could he be a painter? He couldn't paint. Could he make something with his hands and it all fit together? No. Could he construct buildings and everything be plumb and everything be set? No. He couldn't work. He couldn't build things. He was resorted to begging. That was his job. He was a professional beggar. His ailment was that he was blind. He was living off the generosity of other people. His problem was that he was blind, but notice his location. It says in verse 46 that they came out of Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side. Somewhere between Jericho and Jerusalem, this man finds himself. How he got there, we don't know. Maybe he followed the arm of someone and was led there because he knew Passover was coming. He knew all these people would be there. And if he lives on the generosity of others, you go where others are. His location was outside of the city. He's on the highway side. Now think about this. In today's world, if someone were blind, there are multiple programs that we have for them. There are multiple places that they could be. Bartimaeus is outside of the city. He's not in someone's house. He's not in a rescue mission. He's not in a shelter somewhere. He's on the highway side. There's very little protection. He's left out to the elements. Remember, it's very dusty and dirty. It's a hot climate over there. All of these people that are passing by, Bartimaeus has a problem. Notice in verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Your second blank, not only did Bartimaeus have a problem, but number two, Bartimaeus wanted a remedy for his problem. Bartimaeus had a problem. He was blind. But he wanted a remedy for his problem. He begins to hear the people cry. He begins to hear the people that are coming, and he cries for deliverance. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around blind people or have ever had the opportunity to watch them or interact with them, but here's something that blind people do. When you can't rely on your eyesight, you rely heavily on your other senses. It's called spatial awareness. So that if you were going somewhere, right, they have the cane, right, those that have been trained in that, you use your ears to realize, is something close or is it far away? It's called spatial awareness. Bartimaeus realizes that a whole caravan of people are coming down this Jericho road, and Bartimaeus had a problem, but I want you to notice that Bartimaeus wanted a remedy for his problem. He wanted a remedy because it says in verse 47, when he heard, right? There's his spatial awareness. He can't see them coming, but all the commotion, right? You get a whole bunch of people together, they're going to be talking. And the more people, it just seems that the volume, the decibel level seems to get louder. He hears that there's a group of people that are coming. And remember, he's a beggar. If people are begging, if people are coming, I better get on my best begging outfit. I better get ready because there's people coming. I want to live on the generosity of others, so I better let them know that I'm here. Bartimaeus had a problem, but he wanted a remedy for his problem. How do I know that? Because it says in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Blank number three, Bartimaeus had a problem. Bartimaeus wanted a remedy for his problem. Blank number three, Bartimaeus knew Jesus could help him. He knew it. Bartimaeus is on that highway side and all these people are coming and he hears that it's Jesus. Now, maybe he went to other doctors. Maybe he'd gone to other people and they were no help. Maybe he'd gone to the local medicine person that was in Jericho. They offered no assistance to him. They didn't cure his blindness. He couldn't do anything else. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus could help him because he cries out. Bartimaeus probably had heard that other people had been healed by Jesus. I have no doubt in my mind that Bartimaeus had heard about the feeding of the 5,000. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus had healed Jairus' daughter. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that Bartimaeus knew that Lazarus had been healed. Listen, Bartimaeus wondered. He wondered, all these people are going by. I've heard about this Jesus. I wonder if he could help me. So what does he do? He cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That son of David, that is very important. Because the word, the son of David there, it's used 17 times in all of the Gospels. It's a very specific prophetic name for the Lord Jesus. It's a messianic term. You remember back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, how God promised David that someone of the lineage of David would sit on the throne for eternity. We call that the Davidic covenant. You see, when God made a promise to David, God meant to keep his promise. Because what God says, he's going to do. When people give you a promise, the promise is only as good as the person making the promise. When God said to David, forever someone will sit on your line, he meant what he said. Amen. Bartimaeus here says, Jesus, thou son of David. Now, how did he know that? Somehow there had to have been commotion that he hears that this Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus could help him. Notice what it says in verse 8. And many charged him to be quiet. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many. Many people told a beggar to be quiet. I find it very interesting that Jesus, we know in verse 46, has left Jericho and it says that his disciples are with him and a great number of people. This is puzzling to me. If you knew about Jesus, if you knew what he did, and you physically could touch him, and you watched him do all those miracles, and you watched him do all that stuff, why would you want someone to be quiet and say, shh, Jesus doesn't have time for you? Why would you want to withhold the healing power of Jesus for somebody else? I don't understand that. Why would you want to withhold somebody from coming to Jesus? And yet we do that all the time. Sometimes in my mind, I get the idea that I prejudge people. Have you ever done that? I've done that, and I'm ashamed to say it. I've misjudged people. Do you know that perception is not always reality? What we perceive with our eyes and our ears is not always what's really going on. But many people said, Bartimaeus, shh, Jesus doesn't have time for you. You see, Bartimaeus, we got an agenda. It's something we got to do. We got to get to Jerusalem. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many. But you know what I like about Bartimaeus? He didn't be quiet. Because Bartimaeus had a problem. Bartimaeus wanted a remedy for his problem, and he knew Jesus could help him. How do we know that? How do we know that Bartimaeus does? Because he cries again. Look at what it says in verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried again. He cried again. Why? Because he was in a state that he was not comfortable with. He didn't want to live any longer in his problem, and he knew that Jesus could help him. And if somebody said, be quiet, that wasn't good enough for him. Because he knew Jesus could help him. Listen, if Jesus could help Jairus' daughter, if he could feed the 5,000, if he could raise Lazarus, then I wonder what he could do for me. Just because someone tells you to stop praying about something, don't listen to the opposition. God is in the prayer answering business. How many times have you prayed once? It seems like your prayers bounce off the floor of heaven and you quit. You quit. I don't think God is looking for quitting Christians. I think he's looking for people that will pray and pray and pray and pray. And when other people say, no, don't pray for that, you pray. All of us could attest here to men and women that we know that have trusted Christ today because of the faithful, consistent prayers of a mother, of a father, of a grandma, of a grandfather. Don't give up praying. Bartimaeus didn't. He had a problem. He wanted a remedy and he knew Jesus could help him because he said he cried the more a great deal. He's getting louder. Jesus is going by. I can't see him, but I hear he's coming. So what does he do? He cries again. Listen, I don't know if you underline in your Bible. I do. These next four words are my favorite words in all of this passage. I want you to underline these. Notice the next verse and verse 49. And Jesus stood still. We learn here, Jesus has different priorities than the crowd. Jesus stood still. He's surrounded by all these people. Jesus is on a mission. Everything Jesus did, he had a purpose for it. He was always about his Father's will, always. As he's going on this Jericho road, it's dusty, it's dirty. Who knows if they had any water either? But as they were going, Jesus hears, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He hears that cry twice. Do you know that God hears every prayer you pray? Every prayer could be a short prayer, could be a super long prayer. You don't pray to impress God. God knows everything anyway. We're not telling God anything new. We're just telling him what's on our heart. The Bible says the vain, repetitious prayers. You say, well, I can't pray the same thing. My friends, you know how many times I prayed the same prayer over and over and over and over again? Why? Because I had a problem that I wanted a remedy from Jesus. Jesus stood still. He stops. And the crowd's like, what's wrong? Jesus, you got a rock in your sandal? What's wrong? What are you doing? He stands still. Jesus, is it okay? What's wrong? Notice what Jesus does. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I want you to know, look in verse 50. And he, that's Bartimaeus, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He rose and he came to Jesus. Jesus stands still. Jesus knew who Bartimaeus was, even though all these other people didn't, and they didn't care for him because they didn't have time for him. They were on an agenda. They had something they were going to do. This is what I'm on my way to do. We're going to the Passover. This is more important. Really? Jesus stood still. And he commanded him to be called. And they say, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth for thee. And it says in verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I want you to know, blank number four, Bartimaeus came when Jesus called. He came. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, have him come here. And the Bible says that Bartimaeus came. He came when Jesus called, and it said, he casting away his garment. Now this is very important. We don't have this usually in our day today, although people are often known by what they wear, right? At work, at the hospital, I have a certain attire. Mine is different than other people I work with. Why? So I can be easily recognizable. A police officer wears a special uniform so that you can recognize him or her. People that are on teams, they have jerseys that recognize them. In the Old Testament, if you had leprosy, you were easily recognizable because of what you wore. Folks, what you wear is important. People can identify you by what you wear. It says, Bartimaeus here, and he casting away his garment. So beggars, they had their own garment. And the Bible says that when Jesus called, he cast off his garment. Folks, this is a major, major deal. Because all these people are traveling by, it's the only thing that Bartimaeus has that he can hold on to. That's it. That's all he's got. It's his garment. It was what identified him as a blind beggar. It was his cloak. It was his garment. And the Bible says that he took it off. He cast away his garment. That was the only thing that kept him warm at night. That was the only thing that would have shaded him from the sun. If it rained there, that was the only thing he could have held over his head for protection. It was all he had. And it says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now picture this. Picture this. Bartimaeus is blind. So imagine, it says that he sat by the highway side begging. So if you're sitting down, right? If you're sitting down, and then you hear that Jesus is coming by, you hear he's coming, and then somebody says, Bartimaeus, he's calling for you. Really? You kind of get up and you take off your garment. He's not going to stand up because how's he going to know where to go? Right? He finds him. He finds Jesus, right? That's what he does. Notice it, what it says in verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus asked him this question. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. What is Bartimaeus doing? He's down. He's holding on to Jesus. He's right there. And Jesus asks him a question. Bartimaeus, what do you want from me? What do you want, Bartimaeus? Turn over a few verses to Mark chapter 10. But notice in verse 35. Jesus asks the same question to a different group of people. Notice in verse 35. Mark 10, verse 35. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? Same question. Jesus asked his own disciples, okay, guys, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you, disciples? James and John, what requests are you asking of me? It says in verse 37, they said to him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy glory. Hey, Jesus, we want to be exalted just like you. You say you're going to be in the heavens. You say that you're up there. Listen, I have no doubt that they were sincere. I have no doubt that they wanted to rule and reign with Christ. I have no doubt about that. James and John, this was part of this inner group of men that Jesus handpicked to follow him. Jesus said, okay, well, what do you guys want me to do? Well, Lord, we really would like to sit on your right hand and on your left hand. Jesus basically goes on and says, well, that's not mine to give. That's not mine. That's the Father. That's up to him. That's up to the Lord. So we get back down to verse 51. Jesus, he now answers Bartimaeus. And he says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He asks him the same question. Now Bartimaeus never heard the conversation that happened a few verses earlier. He never would have been privy to that. So Jesus asks him the same questions. And remember, all the other disciples, all the apostles, this great group of people, they are around. They hear this. So Jesus asks Bartimaeus, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." In the Greek there, that "Lord, that I might receive my sight," that whole phrase is one word. It's anablepho. You know what it means? It means I want to see. I want to see. The two apostles that Jesus handpicked, they want to be elevated to positions of authority. God, we want to sit with you. We want to be on your right hand. We want to be on your left. We want to be exalted just like you. Bartimaeus doesn't ask that. You know what he asked? "Lord, I just want to see. I just want to be like everybody else. They get to walk. They get to work. They don't have to rely on the generosity of others. They're not begging. Lord, I don't want to do this. I want to see." That's what he asked the Lord. "I want to see." Notice what it says in verse 52. "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." His faith, the faith of a blind man, is what Jesus recognized. Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus could see Bartimaeus. And Jesus can see far deeper into the physical pains that we have. He sees the spiritual pain. He sees the emotional pain that we deal with. Because you know what he did? He said, "Bartimaeus, I see your faith." Faith is not something you can touch, something you can hold. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, right? "For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I think Bartimaeus was diligently seeking a remedy for his problem from the one who knew him inside and out. Jesus knew Bartimaeus. He knew him. He knew him. Because it says in our text, it says, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Do you know what I see here from this? Bartimaeus' faith got the Lord's attention. Because what did Jesus do? And Jesus stood still. The faith of a man got the attention of the God-man. Does your faith get God's attention? Amen. Does it? I wish we older adults would get that, you know? God sees what nobody else can see. God can heal what nobody else can heal. God can help where no one else can help. Why? Because we can have faith. Hudson Taylor says, "I want my little faith to be in the big faith of God." I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel like my faith is so small. Did you know that God knows your faith? Did you know that faith is a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faith. The more you walk with God, the more faith you will have. Because you learn that God is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, reverent. He's all that. God is trustworthy. It says there, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Look at what it says. "And immediately." I love that word. In fact, Mark loves that word too. Did you know that up until this point, Mark has used the word "immediately" some 40 times? "And immediately." What happened right away? Did everybody else, were they quiet? Did everybody else say, "Oh, well, what's going on? What's going on?" Everyone else was not involved in the miracle. Bartimaeus was. Why? Because of his faith. "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. He saw. Now remember where Bartimaeus was, right? He's sitting down. He's sitting by the highway side begging, and he hears all these people that are going by. And as he knows that they're going to Jerusalem, the Passover's coming, they probably have animals that they're going to sacrifice. They probably have a whole bunch of people that are passing that way. He hears it's Jesus. Jesus stands still. He calls him. And then he finally gets over to him. He gets next to him. Jesus asks him, well, what do you want me to do for you? And he's right there, right? And he says, Lord, I just want to see. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I will heal you because of your faith. And his eyes were opened. Look at this. Look at this. If he's holding on to Jesus and he was blind, if he gets his sight, the first thing he saw was Jesus. That's the first thing he saw. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to the day I get to see Jesus. The day my bride and I got married, my, there wasn't a more pretty woman on all the earth. She was beautiful. The day that each of my children came into this world, it was beautiful. But I don't think that was anything near what Bartimaeus saw that day. The first thing he saw the Son of God. He saw the Messiah that he'd heard about. His spatial awareness was real. Because Jesus was right there. The first thing he saw was Jesus. My friends, do you realize when we get to heaven, the first person we're going to see is Jesus? If I lose my earthly eyesight, the next person I will see is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will get to be, oh, I'll be like Thomas, and I have my doubts. But Jesus will say, Thomas, you come here. Put your hands in my where the nails were. Put your you want to feel where the spear was? Thomas, it's really me. I'm glad that God meets us where we doubt. He met Thomas there. God knows far beyond everything that we could ask or imagine about us. He made us, right? He knows. It says, Jesus said unto him in verse 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Notice what it says. And followed Jesus in the way. Your last blank there is Bartimaeus followed Jesus. He followed him. Remember, Bartimaeus couldn't see. His whole life he was a beggar. He was living off the generosity of others. He had some kind of bowl or collection where people would throw in denarii. They would throw in a little bit of money, and he would use that money to try to go buy food or try to sustain himself with something. He was living off the kindness of others. But now Jesus has made him whole. He's reversed his problem. Listen, I've been in medicine a long time. I've never seen anybody that was blind with a spoken word get healed. But God can do what man can't do. God is the great physician. He's the one. When I get to heaven, I'm looking forward to seeing a perfect body. I'll be out of a job then, but that's okay, right? That'll be all right. We'll have other work to do, right? And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Folks, listen, you can't follow something you're not looking at. You can't follow Jesus if you're distracted or you're telling other people to be quiet. No. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Oh, are you so spiritual that you have to keep them away? You don't have a monopoly on God. You can follow the Lord because of what he's done for you. Listen, can you imagine? Can you imagine the testimony that Bartimaeus had? Can you imagine the testimony that he had? Because he followed Jesus. He was going to go with Jesus. So now, he used to be a beggar. Now he's a believer. His life was changed because he met Jesus. When I was 9 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't understand everything that happened when I was 9. I'm 41 and I still don't understand everything that happened. But I'm telling you what, my life was changed. God changes lives. He keeps his promises. God sees our faith, even how little it is, as small as a mustard seed. God sees that. I'm telling you, grow your faith. Why? Because God is worth it. God is worth serving. How do we know that? Because Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. He could have gone anywhere. He could have gone back to maybe some family that he had. He could have said, man, I'm going into town. I got a little bit of money here. I'm going to go buy some fish and some bread. I'm going to go to town. No. It meant more to Bartimaeus to follow the one who changed his life. Who are you following tonight? Who's your master? Don't you think that Bartimaeus owed his entire existence to the Son of God? He changed him. He answered his prayer. He gave him exactly what he asked for. Oh, Bartimaeus, you want to see? Boom, I see your faith. Yep, you're healed. Immediately he sees. He's looking at Jesus. He couldn't see a prettier sight. And the Bible says that he followed Jesus in the way. In chapter 11, we realize why our Lord is going to Jerusalem. You see, over the course of the next few days for the Lord Jesus, he will enter into Jerusalem. We call that Palm Sunday. As he entered into that place in there, they said, Hosanna! Right? They cried, Hosanna! They laid all the palm trees down. They were ready. They were trying to welcome this Messiah. But yet, just a few short days, that same crowd that cried, Hosanna, would cry, crucify him. My friends, listen to me very carefully. If Bartimaeus hadn't have cried, he would have missed the Lord. Because Jesus was on a one-way trip from Jericho to Jerusalem. He was on a mission. He was about his Father's will. Why? Because he was always going to do what God wanted him to do. And if Bartimaeus had just kept quiet, oh, well, everybody says I should just hold my peace. Everybody says I shouldn't say anything. Everybody says I... No! Bartimaeus had a problem. Bartimaeus wanted a remedy for his problem, and he knew Jesus could help him. And he came when he called, and then when God healed him, he followed him. What about you, friends? If Jesus Christ turned you from spiritual darkness to spiritual light, why are we not following him? Why are we not doing what he bids us do? Did you know that living the crucified life is actually a simplified life? Because we don't have an agenda. We do what God wants us to do. Imagine the testimony that Bartimaeus had. If Bartimaeus could ever meet the love of his life someday, he could say, oh, babe, you're so beautiful. Let's have children. And they have children. And he can tell his children, listen, I knew a man one time. I was blind. You kids don't believe me, but I'm telling you. I couldn't see with my eyes, and he touched me. He spoke the words. He saw my faith, and I can see young people, young kids, his own kids. Listen, I want you to follow Jesus. Can you imagine the urging that he would have had because of the condition that he was in, and now he was saved? Why is it so hard for us to witness? I don't know about you, but I'm scared of hell. It scares me. When I was a little boy, my father told me not to play with fire, and like every little boy, I played with fire. I was burned very badly on my arm. I was so embarrassed, I didn't want to tell my dad. I didn't want to tell him at all. That was on a Monday night. I'll never forget it. We played Little League Baseball, and I never get to pitch. I never got to pitch. That Tuesday, I got to pitch. So as I'm up there on the mound, what did I do? I had to take my coat off. And I had a big white bandage right over my arm. And I knew that my dad was there. And I knew my dad would ask me after the game was over, son, how'd you get that? I disobeyed you, Dad. I played with fire. To this day, I have a scar right there, and every time I see it, I realize there are consequences when you disobey your father. As Christians, God is so loving. He's so merciful. He's so kind. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to take our blindness away. Listen, can you imagine what Bartimaeus, what he would say to people when they asked him? Why are you such a Jesus freak? Why are you such a religious fanatic? Oh, because you don't understand what I once was. And then he tells him, and through his own life and through his own urging, what does the Bible say? Compel them to be saved. I don't know about you, but as a doctor, I say this so many times to my patients. I wish you could see what I see. I look at their case, I look at their scenario, and they say, well, it's not that bad. I'm not that bad. Well, buddy, you're in pretty rough shape. I wish you could see what I see. Parents, we do that to our kids, don't we? Oh, man. Son, I wish you could see what I see.
Daughter, I wish you could see what I see. Pastors do that to their people. I wish you could see what I see. Do you know that God does that to us? Oh, Steve, I wish you could see what I see. God, give us those eyes to see. If Bartimaeus hadn't cried, it's very possible the Lord Jesus would have passed him by. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. A number of years ago, in the middle of 1860, there was a young lady who would memorize scripture. She would recite songs, and she would write songs, and she would go all over the country, and she would speak what she had memorized. One particular instance, this young lady went to some jails in the city of Manhattan. As she was there, she would walk down the long corridor, and she would recite scripture, and she would sing songs as she was in that jail. She got all the way to the end, and at the very end, she heard something. Said, "Ma'am!" She kind of turned around, and she's like, "Oh, maybe I missed it." She almost started to go, and she said, "Ma'am! Tell dear Lord, don't pass me by!" She turned around. She walked all the way back to that jail cell. She was able to speak with that young man. That young lady was so moved. She was so moved by that comment that that night she went home and she wrote the song that we're going to sing for the invitation. She wrote, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry." That lady who wrote that song, she could identify with Bartimaeus. You know why? Because she was blind too. Her name was Fanny Crosby. It was said that that song, "Do Not Pass Me By, Gentle Savior, Do Not Pass Me By," that song, D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, they used that in so many of their meetings. And it was said that that was the first song that made her international notoriety. She wasn't looking for fame. She just heard someone in a prison cell saying, "Don't pass me by." What about you tonight, dear friend? Who are you following? Maybe you've got a problem. Maybe you want a remedy for your problem. Listen, I'm not here to say that you just have a little bit of faith and God's going to make everything go away, because that's up to the prerogative of God. You say, "Well, just have enough faith and you'll be healed." No, that's not how it works. That's up to God. Our job is to have the faith in the one who can do the work. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, please. That hymn is hymn number 281. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." And ask every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here this evening and the Lord's been working on your heart in a special way. I would just like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't want to call you out. But if the Lord's working on your heart, would you just raise your hand? Amen. Thank you. You may put them down. Maybe you're here tonight and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're not saved. You know that if you died, you would spend eternity in the lake of fire. You know that. If that is you tonight and you want Jesus to help you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? Anybody? Don't be embarrassed. This is not, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to compel you to get saved. Maybe you're listening at home and you're struggling with doubts about your salvation. Am I saved? Am I not saved? You just realize that you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ really did die on that cross for you, and He rose again. He rose. He was victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have your hymnals there, number 281. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. Just a hymn of invitation. If you want to come and do business with God, the altar's open. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. God, pass me by, Savior.
throne of mercy, find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Just going to have the pianist just play another hymn. Just close your eyes. Just meditate on what God wants to do in your life. Make a decision for the Lord. It's the best decision you'll ever make. No one's ever wasted time serving God. If Bartimaeus would have been quiet, he could have missed the Lord. There's nothing greater than serving God. Nothing. When we get to heaven, God says he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. I think that's going to be because we wish we would have done more for the Lord Jesus. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.